Lord, take our lives and let them be all that you intend. Open our hearts this day. Speak into our lives and make us more like your Son. And we pray this in his name. Amen. So as most of you know, this week my father died. And I was filled with just this incredible sense of gratitude. Gratitude for my dad, for who he was, for the ways that he had, you know, been part of my life. And as I was doing this, I realized that, you know, I wouldn't be who I am today if it hadn't been for him. And so in the midst of, you know, grief, I felt a joy because God had gratefully had given my father to me. You know, God is constantly giving us good gifts. He's constantly showering upon us. Everything that we have, everything comes from him. But do we take the time to notice? Gratitude changes us. It softens our hearts. It makes us able to be used by God when we're filled with gratitude. Today we're going to begin a three-week series called Why We Give. And we give for a variety of reasons, but fundamentally, we give out of gratitude. So turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8, our Old Testament reading for the day. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 20. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, 1 through 20. That's in the beginning of the Bible, for those of you. Now, our Old Testament reading are Moses' words to the Israelites as they are preparing to enter into the promised land. 40 years they traveled in the wilderness, during which time they had seen God's miraculous provision. And now they'd finally arrived at the place that God had been promising his people since the time of Abraham. It was a rich and fertile land, a land that is described 23 times in Scripture as a land flowing with milk and honey. And as they prepare to cross into the land, Moses delivers this sermon to them to be grateful and not to forget the Lord. In verses 1 through 10, Moses highlights the importance of the lessons that the Israelites had learned during this time. Over the 40 years, the Israelites didn't have a home. They were constantly on the move, and yet they saw God's provision each day with manna and water. Moses reminds them in verse 4, your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. That's pretty amazing. In the desolate land without resources, God had miraculously provided and cared for them. At times, the journey was particularly arduous, especially when God was disciplining them. And he disciplined them, well, for worshiping idols, for engaging in immorality, and failing to trust him. And occasionally God let them hunger and thirst. The hardship, however, was meant to transform them so that they would learn to put their trust in the Lord, even when he seemed to be absent. As the Israelite circumstances are about to change, Moses urges them to be a people who are shaped by the memory of what God had done for them. Do not forget. They were to remember God's provision with gratitude so that they would trust God and not themselves as their wealth increased. Practicing gratitude was not only important for the Israelites back then, but it turns out that it's something important even for people today. In fact, the American Psychological Association recognizes this and it has defined gratitude as a sense of happiness and thankfulness in response to a fortunate happenstance or tangible gift. So expressing gratitude has two characteristics. First, it's acknowledgement of the goodness of one's life. In a state of gratitude, we say yes to life. We affirm all that is in life. Life is good and has elements that make it worth living. The acknowledgement that we've received something gratifies us, both by its presence and by the one who took the time to give it to us. And second, gratitude recognizes the source of the goodness lies outside of ourselves. One can be grateful to God. One can be grateful for other people. But you can't be grateful for yourself. You know, gratefulness is to someone else outside of ourselves. And therefore, gratefulness is recognizing the goodness in our lives and the one that we want to offer thanksgiving to for providing it. You know, we all have stories of God's provision in our lives. We have stories of God's protection. We have stories of God's care. You know, over and over again in my life, I have seen God just miraculously provide in little things and in small things. Not necessarily the way I thought that things were going to be. Not necessarily the way that I originally prayed they would be. But as I look back and I say, he's always been faithful. He's always been faithful in every incident. In your bulletins today, there's a card, and we've had these for the last 3 weeks. But this is the day to really fill these out. You know, these are gratitude cards. And I want to invite you this day to write one thing that you are grateful for. You know, something that you're grateful. You know, St. James has blessed our lives too. You know, and sometimes this has been for decades this church has blessed us. And so you may want to offer gratitude for something about this community, this church, or something that has happened in your life. But take the time to write on this card something that you're grateful for. And then I'm going to invite you to come forward during the offertory to place your cards in this basket up here. Afterward, they will be displayed on a gratitude wall outside, which is already beginning to be filled, but you're going to see it all filled up with just statements of gratitude. And then I invite you to take the time to read them. Living lives of gratitude will change us as individuals and as a community. This is not a small thing. It's a discipline to practice gratitude. And I invite you to do this in a very practical way today. Now, in the absence of gratitude, there's a tendency to become negative and blind to the ways God and others have blessed us. And that's why Moses warns the Israelites in verses 11 through 18 not to forget the lessons that they had learned. He specifically highlights the risks of becoming autonomous as they experience bounty in the promised land. Autonomy means independence. It's the belief that you can do it on your own. In verse 11, Moses warns, "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments." Here was the issue of concern. Once the Israelites arrived in the promised land, they would forget about the Lord, and they would raise themselves up as independent beings who didn't need God. The problem with wealth and achievement is that the more successful we are, the more we begin to think our own efforts, our own intellect, is what has accomplished that for us. I mean, even in churches, we see this. The more somebody makes, the lower percentage they actually give. And that's the truth across the board in most churches, that the percentage decreases the more money that they make. Here's how Moses cautions the Israelites, beginning in verse 12. When you've eaten your fill and have built fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And then he continues in verse 17. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. And as Americans, I think this is a particularly hard message for us to hear, because this is the very thing that we value. We value being independent. I'm a self-made person. Deep in our psyches is the belief that I have, you know, a successful business or job, or if I have a large house or extravagant car, that I've obtained a certain economic, socioeconomic level, it's because I deserve it. I've worked hard for what I have. As citizens of the world's only superpower, as those who are some of the wealthiest people, and we are, the world has ever known, we can easily be deceived into thinking that what we have has been achieved as a result of our superior intellect or tenacious effort. In secular American society, possessions and health are expectations rather than personal blessings. Gratitude has for many been replaced with disappointment, anger, and resentment when these expected blessings do not appear, or they do appear and then are taken away. And as a result, we can't see the blessings we've received and the source of those blessings. In the book, A Simple Act of Gratitude, the author, John Kralik, described his life as an utter disaster. He was miserable, broke, overweight, and on his second divorce, living in a crummy apartment in LA with no air conditioning. He was an attorney, but he couldn't afford to pay his employees a Christmas bonus because his clients weren't paying their bills on time, and he felt like he had nothing to be thankful for. His life was a mess. And then, on New Year's Day, while he was hiking in the Hollywood Hills, he had this epiphany, a moment that God spoke to him. He wasn't a Christian, but God spoke to him and put on his heart to write one thank you note each day for the next year, 365 thank you notes. He wanted to find a reason to be thankful and grateful for every single day. And incredibly enough, there were things right underneath his nose to be grateful for, and he hadn't noticed them before. Right there before him. And so this is a book about somebody who thought that they didn't have anything to be grateful for. It's the story of how he started to notice things. And he came to learn that if you write a book about the best in people, you connect with the best people. The act of intentional gratefulness changed him and his circumstances. And the same is true with us. Gratefulness changes us for the better. It changes our worldview. In his sermon, Moses desired his fellow Israelites to see this as well. Their world will be different if you practice gratefulness. Now, to be grateful doesn't mean only to appreciate the good things. It also means to be grateful even in the midst of challenges. Moses describes the time in the wilderness as years of testing, in which the Israelites intentionally humbled and were trained to be faithful in the Lord. In verse 2, Moses says, God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or not. When companies manufacture products, they test them to make sure that they will work. And similarly, Moses says that God tests his people to know what is in their hearts, whether they will be people who live lives of gratitude and trust in the Lord, or to be self-sufficient. Testing draws people out of the normalcy of their lives. No longer can they live as they lived before. It forces them either to draw near to God or to run away from him. When Moses sent out the spies to check out the promised land in Numbers chapter 11, the majority came back with a negative report. Not because the land wasn't beautiful, not because it wasn't fruitful, but because they were afraid of the strength of the nations that resided there. They had forgotten the Lord's provision and care in the past because they hadn't developed a practice of expressing gratitude. Moses warns them here the consequences of ingratitude. In verse 19, he declares, "And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today, you shall surely perish." Even though they were God's chosen people, their existence as a people would be put into jeopardy if they stopped remembering. So how do we practice gratitude? Well, Scripture provides us with many concrete ways. In our gospel reading, the healed leper prostrated himself before Jesus, expressing his utter thanks. That's gratitude. The ancient Israelites established a practice of expressing gratitude through prayer. In the morning and evening, the Israelites recited the words of Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might." Daniel prayed and thanked the Lord three times a day, Scripture says. And Jesus also practiced gratitude in his life. Look at his prayers. They always say, "Thank you, Father." You know, three times a day, most of us partake in a meal. And meals provide a wonderful moment not to bless food, but to express gratitude to God for the food and all the blessings of this life. Another biblical way of expressing gratitude is through generous giving. After being barren for years, and the brunt of ridicule by her rival, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. And in gratitude, she gave her son Samuel up to the Lord after he was weaned. Her gratitude led her to give up what was most precious to her. In Exodus 36, a collection was taken for the construction of the tabernacle. And Moses said to all the congregations of Israel, "Take from among them a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution." And in expression of abundant gratitude, the people gave so much that Moses had to stop them from contributing more. That's what gratitude does. You just want to give more and more and more. We have an opportunity to practice gratitude at this time in the life of our church. We have begun a campaign to raise capital for a permanent church home. The Lord is leading us elsewhere. Expressing gratitude begins with opening our hearts to the good things that we've received and the one who has bestowed them. Giving generously is one of the ways of expressing gratitude. During this campaign, ask the Lord, how would you want me to express gratitude? I've been blessed, Lord. How do you want me to express gratitude? Lord, what do you want to do through me? And then just let him speak to you. You know, there's no coercion here. It's all about just opening our hearts up and letting him speak to you and just be obedient to whatever he puts onto your heart. Remember, all that we have comes from the Lord. Don't let a day pass without expressing gratitude to the Lord. Give thanks for the things that you have and the one who gives these things. Our gratitude will form us into a people that God can use for his glory. Let's pray. Father, we just stop and say thank you. We thank you for the incredible blessings that we each have been recipients of. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this nation. Thank you for all the people in our lives, our families, our friends. Thank you for all the things that we have. No matter our station in life, Lord, we have so much to be grateful for life itself, because it comes from you. And now just speak into our hearts about how you would have us to express gratitude, to practice gratitude in our lives. What would you have me to do? And Lord, as we hear these words, give us hearts that are obedient. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.